Well, as everyone here must surely know, today is a very special day for Christians around the world. For generations, many of us have come to know this day as Easter Sunday. We also call it Resurrection Sunday because it commemorates the day that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Now, whether this is the actual day when those events occurred is really not the point. Instead, as believers in Jesus, we gather to celebrate the fact that these events did occur. And because they did, we have the certain hope of everlasting life and a purpose worth living for. So, before we get too far this morning, let us pause to offer a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we set aside this day to remember the resurrection of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was the day you broke the curse of sin and death, the day hope became assurance, and the day that the promise foretold became the promise fulfilled. Thank you for creating us, sustaining us, loving us, and by your grace, saving us. We thank you especially, Father God, for not waiting until we were right to reveal your great love for us, but that while we were yet sinners, you sent Christ to die for us. For those who have believed, help us to embrace our eternal life here and now, to live as people who have been saved, and give walk in your will, doing the work you set before us with the gifts that you put inside of us. And if any are here this morning who have not yet believed in your Son for their salvation, please draw them to yourself. Let your kindness lead them to repentance, granting them forgiveness and the good hope of eternal life that only comes by grace through faith in him. And so it is that we pray in the name of the risen Jesus. Amen. The story of Easter is at the heart of the Christian gospel. It's the age-old story of God's great love for mankind and how far he would go to redeem us from our sin. Scripture tells us that Jesus came to earth and lived as a man, God in the flesh. As Paul describes it in his letter to the Philippians, even though Jesus was in very nature God, he gave it all up and he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus came to give us the blessing of abundant life here and now, and the promise of eternal life with him forever. During his earthly ministry, he forgave sin, he received worship, and he proclaimed that he was one with the Father. He even referred to himself as the Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life, and the Son of Man. All those titles had special meaning to the Jewish people. They were titles that referred to Messiah. And all those claims were blasphemy in the eyes of the promised. Jesus was arrested, tried, and convicted by the leaders of his own people. They incited the mobs to demand that the Roman authorities crucify him. Jesus was mocked, scourged, and executed. He was treated like the worst kind of criminal and summarily put to death, even though the governor himself had declared him innocent and he had never sinned against anyone in his whole life. We pick up the story in Matthew chapter 27. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself asked him for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, the mother of Jesus, sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed The day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, I will rise." He was still alive. "Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'Oh, he's risen from the dead,' so that the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Thus we are told in Scripture that the lifeless was the corpse of Christ, the entrance to the tomb, a nearby barrier to prevent his friends from returning to the tomb and absconding with his body. But the story didn't end there. In Luke chapter 24, as they had prepared and went to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body, but it gleamed like stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why? He has risen, the living. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men.' Remember, be crucified and on." When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother. Believe the women was with them because their words seemed to them like nonsense, like idle tales. Peter, however, went in lying by themselves to the tomb, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Well, people's later that afternoon, soon be while they were gathered in Jerusalem. At first, they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He stood there in the midst of them, flesh and bones, and even ate some honeycomb and a piece of broiled fish to prove to them that he was. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law." He opened their of Moses and the that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer of sins, dead the third, preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you, that witnesses of the resurrection story." That is the reason that we celebrate Easter. But it doesn't end there. It's the and story of the great prayer to make good on his promise to give eternal life as a free gift to all who would believe by faith. Aside the barrier, aside many beasts and wealth and power and prejudice. And when he rolled back the stone from in front of the tomb, up in victory over the curse of sin and death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the event that forever redemption, the barrier to. In the very beginning, we were created to live in perfect, loving relationship with God from him. Humanity, willful sin and rebellion ushered in death and separation from God. But God loved mankind so much. He was simply not entered the world. The glorious creator set in motion his eternal plan to reconcile his sinful creation to their whole. As we've all. The wise King Solomon made this very point in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. "Indeed, there is no one on earth who created that truth." And no one, verse 23, where he said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And of course, we all know it in our hearts. Simply incompatible God himself with our sinfulness. The sad truth is we can never have the relationship with God that he intended for us so long as we are still apprehend God in all his majesty and glory, so long as we continue to act as though we are God and pretend that this is his perfect love for us. Those whom he made in his own image. Because of that person he created doesn't want to force. He loves us into relationship with him. Instead, he wants us to believe in him. He wants him by choice, by faith, because true love never forces itself on someone else. So he created us with free will, our faith is for ourselves. Now I imagine that some of you who are with us here this morning may have chosen unbelief. And yet, some of you. But the question of who Jesus is to you is quite simply unavoidable. Because when it comes to placing your faith in Jesus, not to decide is to decide not to. You may have barriers in your life, barriers to belief that you can't roll away, can't get over, can't get past, and can't get through. But because the question is unavoidable and finding the right answer is vital, we ought to take this opportunity to talk about some of the things that can operate as barriers to belief. Perhaps you just can't bring yourself to believe in God. You may think that in order to be seen as a rational person, you must believe in science and the theory of evolution and the Big Bang, but you know, there's no reason to suppose that science or evolution or the Big Bang rule out the existence of God. True, there are folks out there who insist that everything came from nothing for no reason. They acknowledge that the universe is a complex place governed by complex natural laws, but they cannot see the necessity of an intelligent designer who brings order out of the chaos. They see evidence of design through both microscope and telescope, but they attribute it all to a process unguided by knowledge or purpose. To the contrary, the Bible teaches that God created the heavens and the earth. In Psalm 19, David tells us that God himself set the stars in the skies, stars that proclaim the work of his hands. If this is true, we may fairly conclude that God didn't do this just to delight himself. He did it for us. In creating all the wonders of the universe, God was proclaiming something. And then by putting us in the midst of it, he's trying to tell us something. Day after day, David saw the glory of the fourth speech. He wrote, night after night, they reveal knowledge. Of course, David knew as well as we do that this isn't literally true. He admitted they have no speech, they use no words, not to the end of the world. We need only look around us. There is evidence, as 19 instances, everywhere. What may be known about God is plain because God has made it plain. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, has been made, have been so that people are without excuse. Creation, and it may well makes the simploid a process of evolution to create us and the world we live in. If so, evolution doesn't have to be a barrier to belief in God. Record, on the other hand, reflects a long process of extinction of those things that God first created, rather than an unguided process of evolution that uses random use case. Belief in science, grounded in the empirical observation of the world around us, doesn't have to be a barrier to believing in God, to believe in as the Word of God. You may think that in order to be seen as a rational person, you must believe that the Bible is filled with contradictions. Yet the Bible plainly describes God as an active, personal God, those who bear in his creation. Far more than a collection of myths and legends, the Bible is utterly unlike any other book. So telling the story of God's creation and his ongoing describes the process by which Scripture itself came to be, as it was explained in 2 Peter chapter 1, as a light in a dark place. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will as they were by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 expands on the question of the origins of Scripture and of God and His process of the Bible for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly may not be persuaded by the Bible's claims of self-authentication. But given the importance of the question, the Bible, unless we truly studied it for ourselves. Now, many smart people who started out as skeptics became believers by doing. A wise man once said, "It ain't much men's ignorance that does the harm, as their knowing so many things that ain't so." We think we know should not blind us to the things that we have yet to learn. Perhaps you can't bring yourself to believe. Because, of course, that is sometimes true. I mean, there are posers out there who claim to have put just because Jesus, but they are not. It shouldn't be a barrier to belief. We've all sinned and fallen short. And coming to saving faith and live in these bodies of mean that we become, we're still influenced by our passions and pleasures. But hypocrisy is when we claim to have said, Christians don't profess to be perfect. Indeed, while we have as our goal that perfect righteousness of Christ, because a person holds themselves to a standard that they cannot consistently achieve, does not make them a hypocrite. Question that each of us answer. And in the end, when we stand before Him at the judgment seat, it will do no good to point to the of others. Perhaps you can't trust in a God who condemns people to eternal damnation. Barrier to belief. The idea seems. But if we were created in the image of God, then our convictions share what's right and wrong about justice. And we should trust that He is going to do what's right for each soul who stands in front of Him. And John sent His Son into the world. Verses condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Therefore, he who believes in Him, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, belief is a choice that's freely. When a person reject God and dismiss the truth of the Bible, we make a deliberate choice to go our own way. And while God was, if we choose to turn and walk away from Him, He will not force us to remain. All the way animates our existence and the world that we live in, and we cannot conceive of the darkness that will befall us when our life is no longer is the damnation by His presence. This is not God's choice for us, but rather a choice that we make for ourselves. Disciples. Barriers to belief. When the women first reported the empty tomb, the others called it an idle tale. And when the other disciples told Thomas that they had seen the risen Lord, he replied, "And put my hand into His side, I will not believe." Well, a few days later, Jesus let him touch him, to touch the wounds in his hands and his side, and Thomas believed. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." There are many barriers to belief that linger in our hearts. The word is that God has looked at satisfied to leave us behind. Indeed, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, we are assured that He wants all people saved. And rose from the dead and left the tomb. He moved aside the stone that was the barrier to eternal life. But for those who have not yet believed, the going to keep remains when you die. Now, all of us here began life as unbelievers. Barriers to believing. But by the grace of God, we were each compelled to seek the truth, and Jesus met us. It assures us we were. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. As he did with Thomas, Jesus will meet you in the side of your doubts to belief. You know, each Sunday we gather together to study God's word, to sing his praises, to lift up our prayers and encourage each. You see, the essential truth about Jesus is plainly set forth in the Bible, and God has left it to each of us to decide what we will believe. To complete and undeniable proof, they are, after all, historical facts about things that happened a very long time ago, and none of us were there. He asks us to trust in him. Jesus has done all the hard work for us, and he has each of us in mind. And he had each of us in mind when he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and believed." Heavenly Father, we who have believed are thrilled to gather together this morning and celebrate the repent of our Lord and Savior Jesus' sins should be preached in his name to all nations. You created us, God, and you understand us. If only we will to unbelief. Please meet us where we are and draw us closer to yourself. We pray in the name of Jesus.